Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions with my guest, Miguel Portilla of Capital Security. And we're discussing how you got involved in security. So from this initial job, and by coincidence, he tells me where it was near the Department of Agriculture there at Stop 19. And by coincidence, for the first time in my life, I got kind of lost and went through the two buildings that he handled. That was Friday. It's interesting.
No, it was Friday and Saturday.
No, but I mean, when I ran into that little driveway, it's like a driveway between those two. So, and then you graduate from Santa Teresita. Where did you then?
Then I get to Universidad del Sagrado Corazón. And there...
And it wasn't criminal justice or things. There you
no,
got
it was
the business,
a business administration,
which was really good for that, what you ended up doing. You were foresight. You knew you wanted to do your own, eventually have your own security business.
No, let me tell you, at the beginning, what I wanted to be in my life, it was a policeman.
Oh, okay. Well, you get more security.
Yeah.
You may end up still being a policeman.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
I foresee that sometimes.
From my early years, I always wanted to be a policeman. I never got into the police department as a policeman because at the age, very young, I have an accident in one of my eyes. So I knew that I wasn't be able to get into the police department.
What kind of accident you have?
I was with a BB gun. So one of my cousins was playing I was living in Park Plaza in Isla Verde, in the fourth floor, and then I was sitting in the balcony there, in the ocean view, and something came to my eyes, and then I went like that, and was blood. So the kids were playing downstairs with a BB guns, and the air took one of the BB and hit me in the eye.
So this like the tiros al aire.
Something like that. So.
Wow.
But then I decided to be in law enforcement and the security business. So I was very clear, very, very clear in my mind what I want to be.
You know, and this is not a tangent. This is Pedro Toledo, just the announcement of his death. And you were a very good friend of Pedro Toledo. You worked with him. Tell us about Pedro Toledo and you have been involved with the police. I mean, and you're obviously in your job, you have to be coordinating continuously. But with Pedro Toledo, you did have a very special relationship. Tell us about that relationship, how you worked with him.
Yes, I know Pedro Toledo more than 20 years ago since he was on the FBI. Since when he was in the FBI, I used to do some kind of coordination with him for some of my clients. Then he get into the police department, and the second year of his first administration with Governor Rosselló, one day he called me and he said, "Mira, Miguel, I need you to help me. I want to start here an internal affairs division to investigate all the corruption inside the police department, and I need you to give me your advice in technology." I say, okay, you know, I love this. I have been always connected with the police. So let's start. And that's the way that we start relation between Toledo and me. So I spent with him about...
Did you get $280,000 for this?
No, I get $1 for a year.
Was it a tough negotiation to get that $1?
Oh, yes. It was very hard negotiation. No, I spent... He told me, "Mira, the police also have money, so I know that you love this. I know that you always have been connected with the police department. So this is going to be a nice opportunity to you to help Puerto Rico, to help the police." And I accepted. I said, how much you going to pay me? Well, I'm going to give you $1 a year. I said, what? Well, anyway, I accept that $1 a year, and I helped him. I worked with him for 7 years, and he was a very great person. Last night, one of his sons called me about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 4:30, and I moved right away to the hospital, to Auxilio Mutuo, and I have the opportunity to be with him. I saw him in the emergency room, When I arrived, he already, he wasn't aware. He was hearing a little bit. But being there in the 10 minutes, he passed away. There was his three sons and some members of the family. His mother was there, arrived there. His sister, and it was just family. So I guess I was the only one from outside that have the opportunity to be with him those last 5 minutes in his life.
And of course we're recording this the morning. This is recording this on Christmas Eve, the morning after death by this great person who worked with two administrations. Which is, you know, there haven't been that many people who have done that successfully. So that he has in his profile of something that we will be ever indebted for him. Hopefully will happen more in the future. In terms of your work, you were with dealing with corruption, which is a big, in the police, which is a big item now on the agenda, given the recent filing of a complaint. Now, it's going to be a 3 or 4 month grace period for this new administration to handle the findings by the federal government in terms of corruption, violation of civil rights. Your experience in those 7 years back in the 90s of dealing with corruption, and of course we're going off on a tangent. This is one an item that I wanted to cover in this interview, and we'll get back to your trajectory, trajectory in terms of development of yourself and of your company. But let's follow on with this area of the police and the civil rights and what would have to be done, what you feel would have to be done in order to prove the reduction of crime and the greater enforcement of crime and prosecuting crime, etc. But in terms of corruption, the civil rights matter, what did you find and what would you do with respect to improving our police force, which is something everybody agrees with, both all the people in the police and the people outside and the people in the States and in Puerto Rico. What did you find and what did you try to do and what would you do right now in terms of improving our police force, which is one of the pillars and we're going to be successful in reducing crime and prosecuting criminals.
Let me tell you that the new government have a big challenge to fix the police, to fight the crime, and to comply with the new lawsuit that is in the federal court. It won't be easy, but they could do it. They could. I would start making a complete reorganization of the police administration. I would start in that. Then I will move to the Colegio de Justicia Criminal in Guarabo.
But in terms of reorganization, what would be the critical items that you think need to be done? Because, for example, in education, they say decentralization and more power within the local districts. Yes.
The thing is that starting with this case, you have to change all the game rule of the police. Now, this administration, I guess, it will have to appoint someone or an office to be sure to comply with all the points that they are mentioned in that lawsuit.
The civil rights
I guess
matter.
That those are the first and the priority that this government will have to work with that. At the same time, you need someone to be fighting the crime on the street.
Right.
I don't think that a police commissioner or a police superintendent could spend all his time just or compliance with the with this civil right suit, and at the same time fighting the crime, because the police, you need to supervise the police.
Right.
I could mention a lot of examples when I was with Toledo, that Toledo spent one day in a meeting, making plans and organization, or how we're going to do it this week, or how are the crime in this area. And at the end of the day, these police coroners, they do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
And if you don't supervise those operations, then you're going to have a big problem.
The picture you gave me was that they take all kinds of notes, and then
notes,
as they walked out, they just ripped the notes and put it in the wastebasket, yes. Which is a kind of a symbolic gesture indicating what the hell they were going to do with what they had.
No, not only that. In those meetings, all of them, the 13 chief of the police, they say, oh, yes, that's what we have to do, let's do it. And at the end of the day, the one that is not with the administration, they just broke the paper and they don't do nothing.
No, it's so you would basically change the much more supervision
and train the police. We have to train the police. I would say that the 17,000 policemen or 15,000 policemen, I'm not sure how many policemen are right now, I will pass them by the police academy again. But before sending all the policemen to the police academy, I will take all the professors, all the instructors of the police academy, and I will say, you know what? We're going to send you back to Virginia to the FBI academy. I'm going to make some arrangement with the federal government. And all of you, we're going to send you there and be sure that you get updated on civil rights, interrogations, everything, the latest. And then once you are prepared for that, then you're going to come here and teach whatever you learn to the police people.
Train the trainer.
Train the trainer.
Okay, yes. Well, Miguel, we have to take a break. I'm with Miguel Portilla of Capital Security. We'll be right back after this break.